Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kelly Harrop. I'd like to thank you all for calling in to Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministry. And whoever downloads this program and even listens to this program later on, I welcome you as well. Well, tonight, my friends, we're going to be reading from Matthew, the 25th chapter, and we're going to be studying verses 31 through 46. But before we begin, let us all pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day, Lord Jesus. We hold you up in high honor because you are the Alpha and you are the Omega. You are the beginning. In the end, you are everything. Without you, we would not have life, Lord, physically or spiritually, because you created us first. Then you died for our sins second, so we would not have to die in sin, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for being upon your throne and being king over all of us, Lord. We pray this name. In your name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this in the name of Jesus. We pray, amen, and amen, and amen. You know, what I'm going to be, we're going to be studying tonight, we're going to be studying the Son of Man will judge all the nations. Now, when we're reading about Jesus in the four Gospels, we like it. When we see the forgiving Jesus, Jesus that raises up the dead, Jesus that heals the sick and the afflicted, Jesus the one who casts out demons, Jesus the one who shows mercy to the sinners by bringing them back into the fold of grace. We like that. Some reason, many people, including Christians themselves, they don't like the judgment side of him. Well, we should know the judgment side of him because, after all, he was here from the beginning. He was our creator. He created the universe. He created our earth that we live on. I shouldn't say our earth. It's his earth. We're just living on it. And it's true. We are. He gave us dominion over it, but we're living on his earth, and we're eating his food. We're drinking his water. We're breathing his air. And right there, you can see how Jesus is merciful to the just and the unjust. Because here we are living upon the Lord's earth. And we do eat his food and drink his water and breathe his air. Right? Correct. So, does the Lord have every reason to judge all nations in the end? Oh, yes, he does. Including the church, including you, who say you walk with Christ. And what we're about to read, we're going to find out how he does this. So let's begin, kids, together on the first verse on Matthew chapter 5. When the Son of Man comes in his great glory, and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right, and the goat on his left. The king will say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, and head up the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, for surely I say to you, inasmuch as you inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of those by my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. In prison, you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then saying, surely I say unto you that as much as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these who will go away into the everlasting punishment, but the righteous and its eternal life. You see right here, we see the ones who walk with Jesus after they accepted him as their Savior and did these kind things to people out there living in the world by giving them the food of the Holy Spirit, by telling them about Christ. But not only telling them about Christ, of action, by behaving like Jesus upon the earth, they were doing it for Jesus. They see someone who was sick, they were doing it for Jesus, meaning that they did it for them. They did it for Jesus, right? Remember, Jesus, why would he even say this? Well, remember, he was in prison, was he not now? He was stripped half naked, was he not now? He was beaten and put to death, was he not now? So Jesus has great compassion for who are downtrodden, because he himself, as a suffering servant, was downtrodden himself, was he not now? And so, what does he teach you and I to do? Feed the hungry. Physically through their tummies, and spiritually through their souls, right? Yes. Clothe them. Do we help clothe the poor? Yes. And that's what the church is supposed to do. When the church decides they're not going to do that, and decide, well, there's other institutions out there, we don't have to do our job as a church, we're not doing the Lord's work. We're supposed to be out there clothing the poor as well, feeding as well, or we're not now. If we know about a Christian brother or sister having a hard time, isn't it up to the church to help them out financially, or perhaps help them find a good job so they can work for a living? True. There's many things we as a church can do. Or rather than go on our own individual ways when church is over, that is an easy thing to do, isn't it, church? When church is over, we go on to our individual lives. We love seeing each other at church. We say, hello, brother, hello, sister, as we shake hands with each other when the pastor says, reach back and shake hands with your neighbor in church, and you go ahead and do that. you may even talk a little while in church, but after it's all over, you go your merry way and you live your life independently from the people from your church. And if someone's having a hard time in church, you don't really try to help them financially or even help them get a job. It's like, well, I'll pray for you, but good luck, buddy. No. We are the body of Christ. We're supposed to do what Jesus wants us to do as a body. Remember, in the church, heaven is right there on earth, right there, as we are worshiping together in Christ, right? So, we're there, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So we help each other. I'm not talking about someone who's trying to fool you and trying to get money and not going out there to get a job on purpose. That is someone doing being selfish and not getting a job on purpose. And I'm not talking about someone who maybe has a disability that they can't get a job, okay? We're supposed to help the disabled too, okay? But I'm not talking about, again, the person that is trying to take money from other people for a living and not really trying to help themselves. I am talking about people out there who are actually struggling, who are trying to work, and at this time, they're having a hard time because perhaps the job they had went out of business or something else came up. Here's how we need the church. We should help them out. If we need to help them out financially as a whole body, we should, knowing that this person will get a job and be blessed by the Lord, but we as a church should help them out. Better yet, help them find a job. Don't say, well, I'm sorry about old Hank. I'm sorry about old Sarah that they lost their job, but good luck to you. I hope you find a job. I'll pray for you. Why don't we as a church try to help them find a job so they can have money to come in to their pockets to survive and pay the bills? That sounds logical to me. Help them find a car to drive. Or better yet, why not the church, if we have members out there, pay for a bus or a van. If they don't have a car, drive them to work. Then drive them when they're off from work until they're able to afford their own vehicle. Hey, great idea, church. This is how we help our own in our church. Because together, we are one body. Together, we are in one spirit. Together, we are one with one another. And together, we help those who are in despair. We help bring the word to the Lord to everyone that is out there. We visit them in prison. And what kind of prison? Does it mean a prison locked up? It could mean that. It also could mean someone else's own prison that they made up in their own life that they've been stuck in and can't get, and they don't believe they can get out of. We who are followers of Jesus get out of that self-proclaimed prison they have and get them out and be the light of the world for Jesus Christ and go out there and minister to those who are part of Jesus, who want to know Jesus Christ. We need to go out there and be that body now. Here's what people don't like. They don't want to be the goat. We also know Jesus said in one of his parables when he told about judging the nations that some people will be going out there saying, well, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out the demons in your name? Well, wait a minute. When someone says, didn't we, basically, they're going through the Adam syndrome, aren't they? Adam blamed Eve for his own fault. So here you are. You know you've done wrong in life if you walk with Christ. And here you are saying, well, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? True. What happened to you on the way in your walk with Christ? What happened? What made your heart so hardened that you didn't care? And now all of a sudden, you're acting like it's a big thing on yourself saying, didn't we do this in your name? Yes, everything you do is in Christ's name. But watch where your heart is. Don't let your church body religion distract you. And what I mean by that is denomination. Denomination is pretty bad for the church. I know it's politically correct thing to say that we're all like ice cream, we're all different flavors in the body of Christ. It sounds pretty good, but we're not actually going to live it that way. I remember Bethel United Methodist Church and this family wanted to bury their loved ones in our church cemetery, and he wanted to have his funeral at Bethel. This is Bethel United Methodist Church in Weldon, Kentucky. And what happened, the only problem our Methodist pastor had, the services going on, was is that at the family's request, they wanted a Baptist preacher to officiate the funeral. Now, the Methodist pastor wouldn't let it happen and denied them the funeral happening at the church for their loved one, because he said it was because of the Baptist minister who was going to be officiating within a Methodist church. Preacher and a Methodist preacher will both tell you that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, who's ahead of our church. Well, Jesus is. But yet, both won't let the minister preach at their church or officiate a funeral at their church because of a denomination, of a name. Paul warned us about that. He warned us about that because many people in the early church were saying, we're a follower of Apollos, or a follower of Paul, and they're mentioning other people who have had great names in the Christian faith at that time. And Paul was telling people, don't do that because we're all part of one body. So if someone says, well, I became a Methodist because I'm a follower of John Wesley, and someone says they became a Baptist because of the historical roots of what a Baptist is, they fell into that first century trap that the first century Christians were falling into, religion. And the fact of it is, I'd say the Methodist pastor at that time, who I knew, was wrong for not allowing that Baptist preacher to officiate inside a Methodist church. His argument was that Baptist pastor would not let him officiate a funeral in his church, which he is right. And that is sad, because we are supposed to be one body of Christ, and here we are, separating ourselves over religion, over a name. If we all are one, truly one body in Christ, it shouldn't matter if you go to a Baptist church, a Methodist church, a Pentecostal church, Church of God, Lutheran, Church of Christ. We're all supposed to be one body. And if you have a disagreement over theological thing, guess what? The Lord doesn't care about that. The Lord doesn't want you to fight over that. Get over it. The main course is bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And stop questioning someone's faith who goes to a church that you disagree with, their philosophy. Now, I will say that philosophy, that church starts straying away from what's in the Bible, yes, we have every right to say they're not walking right with Christ, but I'm talking about ones who are walking right with Christ, and yet they're denying each other's salvation because of their religion. All right? So let us not do this, because we're behaving like the goats that Jesus is talking about. If we're going to be like the goats, guess what? We're going to be told, depart from us. And we know there's goats out there for the churches that are goats, because we see them build their church like pretty well. It's a pretty, and they build the church is beautiful. We know in Europe, they're beautiful cathedrals in Europe. And we know there's big mega churches in America that are even serve you coffee when you go to a worship service. However, how much of that money was out there to feed the poor, clothe the hungry, help a member of the church out when they needed help? I know there's a big thing of trust issue among people. They think somehow if someone needs help, oh, they're going to be asking for help all their lives. Oh, we can't help them because they'll be mooching us for work all their lives and they'll never get a job. Well, how do you know? You want to help them out and then also help them find a job. If it turns out that they're too lazy to work, you were right. And the Lord doesn't like lazy people. I'm talking about people who want to work and having trouble because they may not have a vehicle. They may not have other things. And saying, well, I'll go ahead and pray for you and the church doesn't do nothing. Right here is what Jesus is talking about. I was hungry and you fed me. And how do you get fed? By having a job. So help that person find a job. Right? Or help them even help them drive to work. The church can, if they have the money to do it, afford a vehicle. If they know someone who needs to drive to work until they're able to afford their own vehicle, have the church pick up that person and drive them to work. Amen? Amen. Because the fact of it is, we are the light of the world. We can do better. The first century Christians, I would say, put us to shame today, do they not now? Because many of them had to go through it firsthand. They didn't have a New Testament like we do. And they didn't have all the apostles' letters like we do. They had to go by faith, did they not now? And they lived it. We could do the same thing because the same gifts are out there. And what I'm saying, my friends, let us be the kind of people the Lord wants us to be. Be those who feed the sick, clothe the poor. Because remember, when we do these things for other people out there, we're doing it to Jesus. When we deny the things to people out there, we're not doing it for Jesus. And that's what we have to do as a body. Come together as a body and stop the nonsense of our denomination bickering behind the scenes. The Lord doesn't, the Lord wants from you and I is go out there and preach his gospel and live his gospel. And living it is by what he said over here. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was naked and you clothed me. And Jesus speaks, he doesn't mix around over here. We can very well say, well, that's just Matthew's interpretation of what Jesus said, so I really don't have to follow it. No, my friends. It's very clear what Jesus said here. So let's live by Jesus' example. Let's be the church he wants us to be. Pass what he gave us to the government to do or other organizations. Let us have a clothes closet. Let us have a place where we can give people food. Let us help them when they need help. If we have people who need help rebuilding their houses, let us rebuild their home. If they need a job, let us help them find a job. Let us be the church that Jesus Christ wants us to be. Let us be the people whom Jesus wants us to be. Let us not be selfish, and let us not show contempt or believe that we're better than other people because we go to church, or we go to a certain church, or we go to this big mega church who serves coffee, and we hardly don't know anybody, but hey, they sure serve a good cappuccino. What we should be focusing on, not the way our church looks or how big our church is. Let's focus on the people. People whose souls are out there that count, that we need to bring in to feed and clothe. Let no one call people in the church a hypocrite if we behave the way Jesus did. The hypocrites they'll brag about what they did. What do you think when Jesus talked about those he judged one day, that he will judge in the future, and they tell him, didn't we cast demons out in your name? Didn't we heal in your name and preach in your name? Basically, they're acting very arrogant, are they not now? Like, we did it for you. What are you putting us in hell for? Because of their own heart fell for short. They knew what they did. The fact of it is, if you can preach in the, behind the pulpit and yet do sneaky, ruthless things behind the scenes by hurting a brother or sister on purpose in Christ, or lying behind someone's back in church as a pastor, or dumping your first wife and getting a new wife, and you're still preaching the gospel, and you did it on purpose because you thought your old wife wasn't good enough to be a pastor's wife, but your new wife is pastor material. My friend, pastors, it's not about you. You may be a pastor, but the ministry is not yours. This ministry that I preach in right here, that I'm evangelizing in, it's not my ministry. This is the continuation of Jesus' ministry. My name will one day be long forgotten, but Jesus' name will last on forever. And even I have to watch what I have to say, do I not? Now, I better make sure that when I read this gospel, I know what I'm talking about. If I don't, I'm misleading people. And that's one thing I don't want to do. I do not want to mislead anyone. Because otherwise, I'll be like the goats who Jesus separates. I cannot go out there in the world and preach one thing and do evil against somebody. I cannot ruin someone's reputation. I cannot go out there and take someone else's wife. I cannot go out there and do cruel things to people, selfish things. You know what I'm talking about? The selfish things that are out there. I cannot do that. Otherwise, I am a hypocrite for even preaching in this ministry. So, even in my own life, I have to be sure, I am sure, that I walk with Christ because I feel him in me. And I treat people the way I want to be treated. I don't want someone lying, talking, so I do not do the same to other people. I respect other people. I treat people the way I want to be treated. I don't do anything ruthless against somebody. I don't even try to steal another man's wife. Because if I do this, I am not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot do that. And for many of you who are even pastors who ruthlessly dump your wife for a so-called better wife because your wife wasn't pastor material, but the new wife is. And by the way, she comes from a family with a lot of money and you sort of like that. And now you're trying to say you're blessed like Abraham because now you have money, more money in your pocket. Mr. You know what you did? You aren't like Abraham. You're a thief. First of all, you dropped your wife. And by the way, God still considers you married to your wife after you dumping her. And you dumped her for what? Money. Do you love your wife? You love her money. What you are as a goat is what Jesus is talking about. My suggestion to you, Pastor, is repent of your sin and stop doing what you're doing if you really want to walk with the Lord. So let us not be like the goats. Let us be a church that walks with the Lamb, that goes out there and has the humble heart and walks the way that Jesus wants us to walk. To be perfect like him, to walk in the light, to help those who need help, help them find a job, help them out. This is those who are in prison, who may be in prison, who are actually locked up for a crime, or if they have their own little personal prison in their mind, help them unlock that prison and help them walk in the glory of the Lord. There's many things you could do in the name of the Lord. Feed them, hunger, do everything as the Lord Jesus Christ wants you and I to do. And let us be the Lamb that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be. And let us follow our shepherd into his kingdom forevermore. Amen, amen, and amen. My friends, we're going to stop here for tonight. I'd like to say thank you for calling in. And those who will listen to this program later, thank you as well. I'd like to say join me again when I go into the Gospels again. And may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your life. And let us all behave the way the church should be. Fishers of men, feed the poor, clothe the hungry, visit those in prison. Give everyone and let everyone know the grace Jesus brings to us, the grace and love of forgiveness, the second chance you have right now. Let us bring that message to the world, a second chance they have right now upon the earth, save and live right now in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.